Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shilpa Medicare Limited's Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah from Shilpa Medicare. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Monish.
Yeah, thank you, Virat, and very warm welcome to everyone on our first quarter FY27 results call. Today, from the management, we have with us Mr. Keshav Bhutada, Executive Director and CEO of Shilpa Pharma Life Science, and Mr. Alpesh Dalal, our CFO. The financial results and the presentations are uploaded on the stock exchange, and the transcript along with the audio will be available on our website and also on the stock exchanges. Please note today's discussion might include certain forward-looking statements based on current expectations and assumptions. These statements are subject to risk and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements. With that, I would like to hand the call over to Mr. Keshav for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Monish. Good evening, everyone. I want to start not with this quarter's numbers. We will get to those, and they are the best in our history. But with a simple question: what kind of company is Shilpa Medicare becoming? 3 years ago, the honest answer was a solid, hardworking API business carrying a lot of debt. Our net debt to EBITDA was 6.7 times, and our ROCE was in single digit. Today, we have net debt to EBITDA of 1.3 times, a ROCE of double digit, a credit rating just upgraded to AA-, and a portfolio that no longer makes ingredients. It develops first-in-class drugs, partners with global innovators, and manufactures some of the most complex molecules. As I have mentioned previously, I would like to reiterate on operational leverage. Still, our big bets in biologics, CDMO, novel drug delivery, NB, are under monetization. As those plans fill up, we are confident of incremental revenue and better margins. In simple terms, the reinvesting is largely behind us. The harvesting is ahead of us. Let me walk you through our quarter one performance division-wise. My overall commentary will be divided into three segments: API division, formulation division, and biologics division. In API division, we remain largely focused on CDMO, peptides, and oncology as a portfolio, and we continue to invest our resources in it. On CapEx side, we are doing large capital investment in peptide manufacturing capacity in India, which will have capability of manufacturing from start to end in solid phase synthesis, and block will complete commissioning by end of FY27. In CDMO side, we have totally three NCE advanced programs, which will get commercialized in FY28. We remain on track to complete 15 new oncology product validations on the generic side in FY27. In total, we are working on 25+ NCE programs in our API division, in which many of the programs are in early stage, phase one, phase two, and three programs in late stage. Overall, API business is likely to have a steady growth in FY27. Now, I'll start briefing about formulation division. Our first NCE molecule, Nor-Ursodeoxycholic Acid, which was approved last year in India, is performing as expected, and we are seeing some very good early clinical outcomes in patients in the end market, and we have strong visibility of orders for FY27. Nor-UDC, as a product, we are also taking this globally, and in the global market, we have successfully completed European and U.S. scientific advisors, and we will be starting global phase two clinical studies in FY27. Three commercial 505(b)(2)s, which were approved in last year, are performing well as expected, and the sales remain growing quarter on quarter. Three important near-term filings, which are Abraxane, Enzalutamide, and Abiraterone formulation, are on track to be launched in FY28. Rotigotine transdermal patch, which is one of the complex transdermal patches, And for the product, since we already have received approval in Europe, the same product has been successfully filed in US, and we have already partnered with one of a very strong US partners in US, and we remain on track for launch in FY 28. OLC opportunity with Unicycive Therapeutics, where we are their CDMO partner for API and formulation. The partner is working very closely with USFDA on the recent CRL received, and we are working closely with our partner for next steps. Apart from above, we have very good strong complex pipeline for which product-wise status is already given in investor presentation, and I request all the investors to go through it. Overall, existing and new pipeline launches, there is likely strong growth possibility in formulation. Now I'll start briefing about biologics division. Our second biosimilar product, which is aflibercept, the product clinical studies have been successfully completed, and we remain on track for launch in India market in FY27. For the said product, already we have partnered with one of the best Indian companies. We have partnered with three companies who have decent market share in the ophthalmic industry in India. Our first European partnering of nivolumab with Orion Corporation gives us further assurance on commercialization of our biosimilar pipeline globally. For nivolumab product, India clinical study has already started, and we remain confident for launching this product in FY28 in India. On the other biosimilar pipeline, we have more than 5 biosimilars for which details and status are already given in the investor presentation. On CDMO side of business, Shilpa Biologics has very unique capabilities of manufacturing any product from clone development to fill finish. And with this capability, we today have more than 6 active NC programs already working with various partners, in which the one of the program has will be entering into human clinical studies in FY27 by our partner. 2 NBE programs where we have done strategic investments, the program with MapTree and Alveolus Bio, are on track to enter human studies in FY27. Our first ADC biosimilar is also on track for entering human studies in FY27. Today, Shilpa Biologics is one of the very few integrated ADC manufacturing company in India. On new biological entity, which is recombinant human albumin, as mentioned previously, we are confident of starting human clinical studies in current year, and we remain on track for filing in next year in India. So let me bring back to where I started. The transformation is already on scorecard in the delivering, in rating upgrade, in returns, in a record quarter driven by every part of business returns. We as a company have done the hard patient building work and are now positioned to convert into higher growth and margins. We have built it to last, we have built it to compound. And we would thank to all our investors in trusting us and staying alongside us always. Thank you, and I now hand over the call to Alpesh Dalal for talking on financials.
Thanks, Keshav, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Q1 FY27 results call. Financial performance for the quarter. I'm really pleased to, announce that we have delivered our highest ever quarterly revenue and EBITDA for the fourth successive quarter, and with our quarterly revenues at 469 crores, reflecting a growth of 43% year-on-year, backed by a healthy gross margin of 71% for the quarter. And EBITDA for the quarter was 139 crores, again growing at 42% with an EBITDA margin of 30%. During the quarter, our operating PBT, which is before share of profit from JVs and associates, and before exceptional items, was 92 crores against 50 crores in the same quarter last year, whereas our reported PBT stood at 98 crores, growing at 98% year-on-year. During the quarter, we had a negative tax rate on account of reversal of deferred tax liability for Shilpa Medicare, where the company is planning to switch to new regime on account of lower tax incidence under the new regime. Reported PAT for the quarter was 101 crore, growing at 115% year-on-year. Going forward, we expect the tax rate to normalize at around 25% for the coming quarters. On the capex front, we have spent about 114 crores in the first quarter, and the capex is primarily funded through our internal accruals and deployed across our different businesses. The improved performance and positive operating leverage that we have witnessed has helped us in improving our return ratios during the past 2 years, with ROC improving to 12.5% from 8.8% in FY25. And on adjusted for biologics and NBE businesses, the ROC actually stood at 18.3%, because these businesses are, you know, as Keshav was mentioning, they are still at early stages and, you know, have a lot of revenue generation opportunities still left there. With all the three verticals showing strong revenue momentum coupled with pipeline of niche launches, we remain confident of improving our operating leverage driven by improved business mix, resulting into higher ROC in the coming years. And before moving to the segmental highlights, I would like to reiterate what Keshav has just mentioned, that, you know, our company has received a credit rating, category upgrade it has been, from A+ to AA-. This reflects a significant improvement in our operations and financial performance over the past few years. Besides this, I am also happy to announce that the company has been certified as a great place to work, a recognition that reflects a culture, trust and commitment towards healthy work environment. Now let me walk you through the segmental performance. Our API business clocked a revenue of 260 crores for the quarter, growing at 15% year-on-year. And our non-captive third-party API sales also witnessed around 16% growth year-on-year. The growth was on account of improved offtake of our of key products from newly expanded capacities, coupled with strong captive demand coming from our FDF for finished formulation vertical. Even the specialty CDMO within the API division witnessed a strong traction driven by new client acquisition in developed markets. The formulation revenue for the quarter were at 198 crores, growing over 100% year-on-year. And ex-licensing income, the base business reported robust revenue growth of approximately 112% during the quarter, largely driven by complex FDF portfolio in US region, supported by EU and ROW regions. Moving to the biologics segment, our biologics segment reported revenue of 52 crores, growing at 42% year-on-year. This strong growth was driven by continued deal momentum towards licensing and partnership and CDMO businesses. With that, I would like to request the moderator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Amazing execution team. Congratulations for that. Just two questions. First is, as our existing investments start monetizing, and we can see that in the numbers, what would make you say we have enough capability for now and prioritize sweating existing assets over building the new one?
Yes, Sejal, thanks for your question. See, I think most important point here, if you see our historical capex run rate, right? We have invested heavily in biologics, we have invested heavily in formulations, and those investments for us could translate into sizable revenue, because there the capacity utilization what we have currently in some of the specialty divisions where we invested is very less today. So we have room for decent capacity utilization there. Coming to API, where we have high capacity utilization, that is where we are already doing additional capital capex investment, where we feel that there is a lot of room for additional capital investment and additional growth. That is, the mix of these two is something which makes us more confident to tell that we have enough capital already deployed for upcoming growth.
Yeah, then that's helpful. And given that we have a diverse set of capabilities including biologics, including peptides, and including CDMO. What is becoming cheaper or faster to develop? Because all these capabilities now exist in the ecosystem and we can leverage them in combination. So what I'm trying to understand here is, are we getting a sense that 1+1 is greater than 2 now?
No, Sejal, I think to answer in simple words, right, the Shilpa as a company, the way we are built is integration. If you see our API is integrated with formulation, our biologics is integrated from clone to fill finish. Same way our albumin we do from starting from clone development to fill finish. I think today what industry needs is the plant, the capabilities of one-stop solution, that is what we have.
No, that's very helpful. Thank you so much and wish you all the very best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Bhardwaj from TechSec Funda Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Congratulations for your stellar result for consecutive quarters. Sir, I have two questions. First question is, how do you see the company down the line in 2-3 years in terms of profitability and the ROC? And sir, my second question is, shall I continue with second or later?
Yeah, go ahead.
And sir, my second question is, as there are many developments are going on in our company, sir, what barriers can come in to slow down our path, growth path?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll take the first question and second will be taken up by Keshav. So as far as, the growth momentum is concerned, as we have been regularly saying that we may not be able to provide guidance for the future, but as a general, rule or the way we have been working at various aspects and the way we are developing our pipeline, we can visualize a very healthy and steady growth. As Keshav had mentioned in his speech also, that we are looking at monetizing more and more of our investments that we have done in biologics and niche kind of formulation business as well. So those are high margin, better profit yielding businesses. So they obviously are expected to generate significantly better returns as well. So whilst we may not be able to provide you a specific number, but what we can see from here on is that the growth trajectory looks very robust, and with a faster growing trajectory on the profitability resulting into better ROCs across the board.
Yeah. Okay, sir. That's very helpful.
Yeah. And what could be the, challenges that we could face, or what could slow down our growth? The thing is, the regulatory pathway in pharmaceutical industry is a very critical aspect. Whilst we are working, towards, being very robust and compliant with our, practices, once in a while, the way regulatory authorities look at us could be a bit different. And if some of those challenges come up, unexpected challenges come up, that might slow down the growth trajectory that we have. But general trend towards moving further on the growth trajectory will continue. It might slow down if some such regulatory challenge comes up.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krisha Kansara from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Firstly, many congratulations to the entire team on a very good set of numbers. Firstly, on NOR-UDCA, I have 3 questions. Post our launch in Q3 of FY26, we have seen 2 quarters of commercial revenue, and our domestic formulation segment has contributed 59 crores in these 2 quarters. So how much of this 59 crores came from NOR-UDCA? Second, we have now completed the disease curability duration of 6 months. as you rightly mentioned in the previous con call. And you also highlighted in your opening remarks that the clinical data is positive. So could you please elaborate on this? And third, in the last month, Emcure Pharma, which is the marketing partner for Novo Nordisk, semaglutide, they received CDSCO approval for an additional indication for treatment of fatty liver. So what is the management's thought on this? Thank you.
So Krisha, to give you simple answers, I think product level we don't give sales numbers, so sorry that we cannot give. But as I mentioned, we have very strong order trajectory. I think that should give confidence to everyone on the product. Coming to the third question, I think, which is very important, the products like semaglutide or other products which we are get, which people are doing for indications like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. See, the mechanism of action of NOR-UDC and any other product which today many studies are going on is completely different. NOR-UDC directly attacks the liver enzyme. That's the major advantage what is there in the product against products like semaglutide, which has a different mechanism of action for liver fibrosis.
Okay, and what about the data, the 6 months curability data that you mentioned?
Yes, see, on the clinical data, if you read online, all the data of our product is already published and we are already doing the phase 4 clinical study. Once that data is available, that also we will be publishing. I think that should suffice the requirement.
Okay, okay. And can I just pitch in one more question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is on the biologics team. So firstly, congratulations to Dr. Uday Harle on joining Shilpa Biologics. I would like the management to spend some time in highlighting their strategy of building a dedicated team in biologics division. Last year, we were able to clock around 150 crores of revenue. And now for us to scale this business from 150 to let's say 300, 400, I assume we would need the right kind of talent to work with Dr. Uday and Mr. Madhav. So what is the team building strategy specifically on the biologic side?
So Krisha, I think it's something which is more operational question which we can connect later. But to give you an idea, we have a very strong team of different experience and wide experience. And not only internal team, we are also engaging some very good consultants who have very good understanding of US and EU regulations. So I think mix of that is something which will surely help us in our overall strategy, the plan, execution. And I think further details on this, if required, you can connect to Monisha further. Okay?
Sure, sure. And just on Rotigotin, are we on track to introduce this before September this year in the European market?
So Krisha, I think there are many people waiting in the line. Sorry for that. So maybe you can come back on queue. It's okay.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Yash Doshi from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, management. Congratulations for good set of numbers. Yeah. Regarding NOR-UDCA, if you see quarter on quarter in Q1 FY27, we see your domestic revenue, it has dipped a bit. So, is it, what's the exact reason for it? Because I think we launched 6 months ago. So, ideally, the product should scale up, but that's a small blip.
No, Yash, it's not the small blip. If you see, I've again mentioned everyone that this is not a product level detail. So, you are just seeing the total domestic sales, right? NOR-UDC as a product, if you see historically, and quarter on quarter is something, some quarter someone will do more stocking, sometimes we will manufacture more, some quarter will manufacture less based on the demand, based on the delivery schedule. I think that's not the right way of seeing the product. Overall, the product is doing good, that's what I can tell you.
Understood. And another question was regarding the API division, which we grew at 16%, and it was led by your specialty CDMO. So just wanted to check in that, was it more contributed to, by a normal innovative CDMO portfolio or a polymer division?
Innovative CDMO.
Oh, innovative CDMO. Yeah. And just last question, this quarter we onboarded two Japanese customers, right? For, I think it was late phase projects. So can you talk about the background of the clients, whether it's a big pharma or biotech, and what can be the opportunity size?
Yeah, I think I'll tell you more details on this in the upcoming call because we have some confidentiality on the program.
Okay, understood. I'll join back the queue.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah, congrats on a good set of numbers. Two questions. See, if I look at and one thing I should appreciate the kind of details you put in your presentation, it's phenomenal. It gives a very good understanding of where we are going. One question on slide 12, if you look at it, on the API side, now we see that, and if we track over the last four quarters, the number of programs on the specialty CDMO have increased significantly. Would it be right to say that the next leg of growth on the API side would be more driven by the CDMO part of the business scaling up from where we are today? Like, should there be a right way to think about it, or is, and how many projects do you think will start getting commercial phase in 27-28?
Yeah, your point is well taken, and yes, specialty CDMO will be a growth driver for us. Not only that, we have other oncology pipeline and peptides also, but yeah, specialty CDMO will be one of the leading drivers for us in the API division. Number of programs and the details around that we don't disclose, so sorry for that, but to give you a fair idea, we have almost three late stage programs which will enter into commercialization next year.
Okay. And yeah. Second question is little longer. See, if you look at our company, from 2018 to 2023-24, we were in investment phase in different segments, on biosimilar, on albumin, on API. And the fruits of which we are now seeing over the last 2 years and should continue. Now, when you are thinking about investments today and looking at next 3 to 5 years, how are you thinking about the future investment, and which would be the segments where you are putting most of your energy?
Yeah, Nikhil, I think already the investments what we have done, if you see in last 5 years, right, we have still not even finished the utilization of that, and we still feel that at least for next 3 years, we don't need any significant capex in some new investments like in biologics or in albumin, where we have already done a lot of investment. So I think that will take care of our growth in these divisions for the next years to come. And as I mentioned already, like in the divisions where we feel capital is still required, like API and in some formulation new molecules, there the investment we are continuing. But we don't foresee any significant capex today. That is what we want. We want to inform all our investors.
Yeah, that is one part on the capex. But on the R&D side, where are you putting most of your energy? And because one side we have our own specialty 505B2 molecules and specialty molecules where we are doing the clinical trial. And there is another part which is equally interesting is the biologic CDMO and API CDMO, which is again a strong growth engine for the whole industry. So between these two, how are you thinking about it? Like on the R&D investment, not on the CAPEX investment.
In the R&D investment, each division has their own R&D budget, which we will continue to do every year. How much in each division, etc., that's a lot of detail which we don't inform. But to give you a fair idea, our investments in R&D continue on pipeline, and we will continue to add several new products and also advance existing products.
Sure, I'll come back in with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Mehta from Elite Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, congratulations team for the fabulous set of numbers. I have two queries. One is, biological business contributes just 81%, that is close to 52 crores. What would be the growth trajectory going forward? This is one. Should I go for next question?
As you mentioned, right, see, biologics business from a growth trajectory perspective should witness a significantly higher growth purely because it's on a smaller base, and also a lot of future lies in the biologics side. Again, I would reiterate that we would not be in a position to provide exact numbers, the kind of growth and all, because we don't provide that kind of a guidance. But the growth potential of biologics is significantly higher, especially because it's a new area and it's on a lower base. And also the industry is moving more towards biologics, so it provides that additional growth opportunity.
Okay. And what would be the contribution, India and the outside India business, in case, if you have planned anything about biologics?
In biologics? See, in biologics, our, you know, large portion of our CDMO and other work that we are getting is, you know, from outside of India. In India, we do have our own pipeline, and that will also take shape. But a larger portion is expected to come from international markets.
Okay, thanks. Second query is, current EBITDA is around 29%. First of all, whether it is, how it is sustainable, and what would be the trajectory going forward, in case if you can throw some light.
So see, this EBITDA margin, in fact, I had only, you know, couple of, two, three quarters back, I had mentioned that, you know, this is obviously on a slightly better side, and we might see some change happening there, but we have been consistently able to maintain that around 30% levels. So, you know, there is a constant performance showing that we are in that particular range and region. At this stage, I wouldn't want to, you know, get hopes very high. We would like to be conservative and over-deliver. So we would, you know, put margins to remain in similar range.
Okay. Thanks. Best wishes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations to the management for the excellent performance. My question is, CDMO has been one of the major growth factors for the company. So how do the management see CDMO journey in next 3 years? And second question is from Unicef Drug. What is the next step and what are the timelines for the drug?
Yeah, Deepak, there are, like you rightly mentioned, CDMO remains a very focused business for us as a company. And if you see, even in India today, if you count, right, there are not many companies who has the capability of doing small molecule, doing large molecule, doing API, doing payload, doing linker, doing conjugation, doing ADCs, doing MAPS, right? So the way our company is built is, we have a very strong integrated capabilities. So usually we get customers who want one-stop solutions. So we remain very confident and positive that CDMO as a business will continue to grow. And already many of the programs what we are working, many of them still are in early stage, some are in phase one, right? As and when the program will advance of, suppose more than 25 programs, even 10 programs go commercial, we can see a sizable CDMO business, okay? And second question was, on the Unicef part. See, on the Unicef part, because it's a partner program, it's already there in the public domain. They have mentioned that they will be, they have received the CRL letter from USFDA, and they plan to refile in Q3. I think that's the update which we also have in the public domain.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Bora from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for a good set of numbers. There have already been a lot of questions on CDMO, but just maybe a couple more on the same theme. Just looking at your presentation, the slide highlighting CDMO capabilities vis-a-vis peers. Right. When we talk of Indian CDMOs, most of these are materially larger than Shilpa's CDMO business today. Also have several years of both capacity and capability investments. right? So just want to understand, while we are benchmarking against these companies favorably today, do you think that we have similar ambition and, we have the wherewithal to get to, let's say, typically most of these companies are upwards of 800 to 1000 crore revenue comfortably. So do we feel that that is the kind of scale up that is possible for Shilpa, or we will need specific investments into either capacity or capability building to really achieve the full potential? And second, when we talk of CDMO, we are still talking API CDMO, but we have a separate biologics CDMO division as well. And we have CMO activity in formulations and, specific niches like ADCs and peptides. So how is it that you're approaching the entire business development part on CDMO? Are you approaching it as one single division across range of capabilities, or each division has its own funnel for building the business?
No, Tushar, I think we have never said as a company only API. We are also promoting, and I have told in my talk also that we have already several CDMO programs in biologics also, okay? Coming to the size, yes, we feel it is sizable business. How much the value, we don't want to disclose, but to just give you a fair idea, today in Shilpa, in the overall Shilpa group, we have only one product which is commercial on the CDMO side. We have more than 25 such NC programs in various stages of development. I think as and when these molecules advance, you will see the growth trajectory accordingly. And coming to business development side, we have in respective division, respective people who promote and get the project for us. I think that will remain continuing, and we have decent budget allocated for each of the division.
So, and on the initiatives that you mentioned on the NCE programs, so what is the ramp up possibilities you're expecting over the next 3 years? How many of these you mentioned three late stage programs, I think, but how many of these over the next 3 years will mature potentially?
See, it depends on our partner, because these programs are not run by us, right? But I think today, as on today, what visibility we have for next year, we have three NC programs which will enter commercial phase.
And just one last on the same theme. We have, in a lot of these cases on the CDMO contracts, struck very interesting contracts, right, where we've invested in these smaller biotechs, smaller companies. So possibly there's an angle of even a profit share or a component that is over and above the supply contract. So is it fair to assume that the outcome for Shilpa in this case would be materially higher than what a normal CDMO would realize from these programs if some of them do work?
Yes, you are right.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll join back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Gupta. We are not able to hear you well. Please use a microphone while asking a question.
Hello, is this fine?
Please go ahead with the question.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on a great set of figures. So one thing regarding the gross margin. So what is driving, just two things. First is what is driving the gross margin, and secondly, with respect to the like 1Q last year. So gross margin was around 75%. However, I think it was largely due to the Orion deal. So except that, what would be the gross margin last year?
So Sumit, I think we don't disclose product level margins, but I think to give you a fair idea on the gross margin, right, the kind of product sales what we will have in this year and the upcoming launches which I mentioned in the my speech, all these are complex products. Like Rotigotine transdermal patch is a very complex, very few generic players are in the market. Abraxane is again a very complex product. We have such complex products which will be launched every year, and also our existing pipeline like Nor-UDC, which is an NC product. We have 5-5-betos, which are again a very different product with no generics. I think all of this are driving our gross margin. And how much the percentage and all the details, I think you can connect to Monish later for the more details.
And just some idea around, the slight dip that we have seen in the gross profit margin, that also has to do with, because of the recent political situation globally, the raw material prices and all have gone up. and that ends up impacting, you know, margins, at least for the time being. So that has been, you know, one of the reasons for a slight dip that you have seen on gross margin front.
Understood, sir. So ex of that, so like when the things normalize, so in that case, what would have been the gross margin? Like any, like.
It's difficult to quantify that way, Sumit, because
Okay.
There are times a part of it you are able to pass on to the customer, not
Right.
the full piece. So it changes, you know, the entire equation, depending on the, you know, where we stand at a point in time.
But you are able to pass on partially.
Partially, yes.
Understood, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant from Groudon. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
My question is related to the new tax regime which we have followed under Section 200A. In the erstwhile Income Tax Act, there was a provision that we can claim deduction with respect to research and development and scientific research and development deduction to the extent of 100% even on the capital goods. So why we have foregone that and we have adopted the new regime? Because we are under research and development segment also. So might be a separate new unit, or is it something like we have incorporated an entity in research and development and we are following that 15% tax? And
No.
the second point is the U.S. Notification regarding generic drug. Since there was a I have seen that 45 crore is being exported from Shilpa to U.S. So there is a notification that they will be charging basically tariff at the rate of 100%. So are we planning to acquire any unit in U.S. so that we can counterfeit that tariff threat?
Yeah. So, you know, on the first question around the new regime, see, as you rightly pointed out, this 100% benefit, tax exemption benefit is available for R&D CapEx. The R&D, we already have, you know, our fully functional R&D units across our divisions. So we are not expecting any significant R&D-related CapEx coming up. Whatever is our, you know, CapEx around our, you know, revenue R&D spend, that anyways gets fully charged to P&L in any case, so we get the tax benefit over there. What we lose out by not getting into the new regime is the accumulated MAT credit that we have got in Shilpa Medicare that we have to forgo if we don't get into the new regime. Also,
I think further additional depreciation will also be foregone in that this case.
there is no additional depreciation that comes up. And this
On
particular
cash and
change,
machinery.
no, there is no additional depreciation, but it is something which only becomes a timing difference and nothing more than that. So even the CapEx-related R&D depreciation that you get is a timing difference. But the difference in the tax rate is significant. It changes roughly by 9.75% or so. So that swing is big. Also, we are able to utilize the MAT credit to the extent of 25% of tax. So effective tax rate comes down by another 6 to 6.5%.
So what you stated that 25.17% is being reduced by the MAT credit to the extent of 25%, and that comes out around 19%. And further, from the impression what you have stated is that there is no further CapEx. So all the development will be met with the existing capacity through additional production, right?
Yeah. So there isn't. So as I say, that there are certain investments that happen, but not significant to us for us to forego the tax benefit that we get over here. Yeah.
The second question was related with the U.S. threat of tariff. So how we will be counterfeiting that? Because 45 crore is the turnover which we are getting from U.S., right?
No, see, if you see our historically also on the product side, what we sell in U.S., right? We are not selling any me-too generics. All our products are complex products which have some kind of differentiation, okay? So for us, materially, it doesn't have very big impact. But saying so, evaluating on the U.S. manufacturing facilities, next steps on that, I think that all the industry in India is still monitoring how the Trump regime will behave on that, what are the terms and conditions. I think once we have more clarity on that, then it will be a right decision to move on that next steps.
Thank you.
But lastly, to give you very clear picture, Shilpa, as a company, we are not selling any me-too generic in U.S., okay? All are complex.
No, it's not about that generic. It's about the strategy because under one situation, they impose a tariff threat that they will be imposing on export from India. Under generic, then they will be coming with the future that they will be imposing tariff on all the medicines. So it's about how we can strategize the same thing and what is the point of view of company. And thank you so much for addressing my concern. Thank you. And congratulations for the number.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Goel from Cosma Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. Very broad-based. So just one question. Sir, the strategy of taking stakes in companies to provide CDMO services, if you can just elaborate here, what is our thought process? What is driving this? Can we expect many more like this in the future? Is this something we have to do at this stage to grow this business? And just where can this figure go to in terms of overall spends?
So Anubhav, that's completely a different confidential strategy on our side. I think we are not interested to inform any more details on this, but I can tell you this is a very unique strategy which we have, and we would inform more details really if needed, if the size of such deals increase in future.
But sir, fair enough. Sir, is it fair to say we can expect more deals like this?
Yeah, it depends on the kind of programs we get, right? We don't invest, we get many programs where investment opportunities come. But we as a company, we are very selective. It should fall in our therapy. It should fall in our corporate strategy. Only then we take interest.
Okay, good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Pathak from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening everyone. Thanks a lot for giving the opportunity. Congratulations on great set of numbers that you have. I see 11x improvement in the US, but there is a considerable downtrend in Europe numbers from 77 odd crore to 57 crore. What would be the reason and how we want to capture that territory again in Europe?
No, Akhilesh, I think if you see Shilpa as a company, the way we sell products in the end market, right, these are mainly tender products. So in Europe business, we don't see any dip. It's just that there is a variation on quarter supplies. Some quarter we have more supplies, some quarter we have less supplies. So that's the only reason. There is no other reason. The performance of Europe business, the product, the end market is really doing good for us.
Okay, great. I have another question on the capacity utilization of various plants that we have in Bangalore, Jatchilra and Dharwad. What kind of capacity utilization we have currently? Because there was a comment that they are underutilized as per the cost block that we have incurred.
Yeah, I think for that you can connect to Monish, our IR head. I think he will be able to give you segmental utilization details.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from Novice Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Sir, congrats on a really good set of numbers and a quarter where gross margins were dipping, but still, you know, we maintain our operating margins. So really operating leverage is kicking in. And also congrats on a credit rating upgrade, sir. So partly my question was about this capitalization that was asked by the previous, participant. Maybe even I'll take it offline with Monish. But sir, if you can give us some sense, we do disclose ROC X the new businesses. So, you know, we can approximate the amount of gross block or capital employed that we are allocating to these two new divisions, which are also not, you know, you're getting utilized. So if you can give us some flavor there of, you know, what should be the, say, asset turnover and maybe an EBITDA margin or gross margin level, you know, is it in line with company as, you know, blended margins? If you can give us some sense and should it be, you know, in the year FY28 or FY29? Some flavor will be helpful for us to model, sir.
I think one thing I want to inform all our investors, to answer this question, I'll answer a bit differently. as a company, if you see, we have a pipeline in formulation, in biologics, in new biological entity albumin, right? And API business, which obviously everyone is aware. But if you see, like in biosimilar itself, you can see in our investor presentation, we have several biosimilars as well as ADC program, right? If you see today, we only partnered for only one biosimilar in Europe till date. We have such 8 molecules for which we still have to do the partnering. We have to take the product to market. Then the commercial revenues will come. So you can imagine the delta of ROC which this asset can generate. Similarly, on the albumin front, where we have already invested from last several years, we have finished the preclinical studies, we have finished phase 1 studies, we are starting phase 3 study globally. And for this already we have partnered in end market like Europe, which is one of the largest markets for albumin. So you can imagine the kind of commercial ROC which this asset can generate. I think with this I will leave the points open, because segmental wise ROC, the details, I think you can connect to Monish as I mentioned previously and he can explain you further on.
Yeah, I can just add on saying that, you know, from being ROC negative, you know, about a year and a half back, these divisions have become ROC positive, albeit, you know, at a lower level still because of the higher asset base that it has got. But as Keshav was mentioning, the potential to improve the ROC over there is significant. And I had obviously mentioned what the blended ROC in my opening speech and what the adjusted ROC is. So that can also give you some flavor as to, you know, what kind of delta could be there.
Yes, yes. Appreciate that. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thanks, Amish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Sir, I wanted to understand the economics of the license and service income line. So, like, for last couple of years, we have been witnessing a good chunk of our revenue from that side. So, wanted to understand, like, what sort of margin does it carry and does it flow straight away to the PBT, or the development costs are already expensed in it? And if you can split this license or service income under the formulation or API CDMO part, that will be helpful.
Yeah, so we probably would not be in a position to provide segregated numbers for them. But, you know, this licensing income, what we generate, you know, it's not that there are no spends or no expenditure for that. We obviously have, you know, developed the products. Spends have been done at a particular point in time. Revenue may not necessarily come in the same, you know, period that the spends have been done. Because, you know, we develop the product, we take initially the spends, R&D spends up to a particular level. And only then we end up, you know, getting some licensing revenues out of it. But these are continuous developments. So, you know, at any point in time, we have various programs which are under development. And some of them would end up generating licensing income in future, the way the current licensing income related spends were done in the past. We obviously, and for every successful program, it's not necessary that, you know, every program that we work on is successful. There are some failures also that we have to budget, and that goes straight to our, P&L as a hit. So some of these things are, so it's difficult to quantify and segregate what is the margin profile. But obviously, that's what we receive as licensing fees is significantly higher than the spend that we incur.
And so, like, how should one look at this, because majority of that would be a recurring revenue, or, it will be a one-time income. Just for example, when a product Unicef, for which we are doing a CDMO product, if that gets commercial. So, wanted to understand, how should one look at this part of the revenue? Is it more of a recurring revenue, or... kind of one-time income.
Understood the question, Ajay. See, the point here is that our business is a B2B business. So we are in the business of developing these products, the portfolio, and we license it out. We don't really do an in-market presence of our own. So in that light, you know, the more and more portfolio development we keep doing, we will keep getting licensing opportunity because that's our fundamental business model. Right? CDMO is a separate kind of business altogether and it should not be mixed up with the licensing revenue at all.
Understood. And okay. Sir, like...
Can we restrict questions to please, Ajay? We have others waiting in the queue.
Just one last link that was...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Ajay. May we request you return to the question queue for a follow-up question?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surendra Khemka from AVS Equity LLP. Please go ahead.
Sir, I want to know any adverse effect of Biosecure Act vis-a-vis China and India, if any in future?
Sorry, your question was not clear.
Any adverse effect of the Biosecure Act from the US vis-a-vis India and China on our production, selling, formulation?
No, because Biosecure Act is mainly for China and that also I think it's all there in the public domain. But I think these are some things which are more policy related decisions which happens at a regulator level. I think we will not be able to comment more clearly on that. But as on date, we don't see any major impact of this act for us.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Niti Kumari from Narnolia Financial Services. Please go ahead. Ms. Kumari, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with the question.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a few questions. First, on the first MP, what is the peak API revenue opportunity for Silpa, if you could broadly answer? Also, as the product scales, what percentage of the innovator's product sales does Silpa technically earn through API supply? Second, on more UDCA, could you share the revenue mix this quarter between product sales and licensing income? Within product sales, what was the contribution from Silpa's own channel versus partner supply? Thanks.
Yeah, okay. On the second question, I think Keshav had already specified that we will not be able to provide product level detailing and all. And on the what would be the, overall potential of API business, I think API business has been there with us since a few decades now. It is a business that we have been growing. I don't think there is any specific cap that we look at that the API business can grow only up to a particular level. It is just a function of creation of capacity and, making our supplies and growing our portfolio.
Actually, this was the API revenue opportunity I was asking for the first NCA program.
Okay, no. So product specific or project specific details we will not be able to provide, Nidhi. You'll have to pardon us for that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tirumala Reddy, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Thanks. So in the CDMO business, is it possible for you how many customers we are handling with now? So just to understand how diversified our customer base is.
Yeah, we have overall in Shilpa Group, right? We have more than 20 customers on only CDMO side. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. And the second part is on adalimumab. So we have got USFDA approval. So how the commercials are standing with this product?
Yeah, the adalimumab as a product is doing good. Today we have decent market share in India because the partner who is selling our product has very good reach in the arthritis space. So product as a case is doing good. But it's not a very big opportunity. That was our first product. So the way we partnered here was just to give a fair idea to the market that Shilpa has capabilities of developing and getting approval in biosimilar, where adalimumab was one such simple product. Then you will see the future, how our pipeline we have designed. is more complex products like aflibercept, like nivolumab, which are more complex than adalimumab.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Doshi from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one question. Regarding 505B2 ramp up for the two products, just wanted to understand like the ramp up in coming quarters, will it be more for those products and how is the penetration level in the US market?
Yeah, yes, I think product level details we don't give, but I think what I can tell you is the kind of product what Shilpa has and the complexity. It's not that just you have developed a 505B2 so you get market share. It's also the kind of product, the advantages it has against the generic products and all of that. That's what we understand very well in the market and accordingly our product is developed. So yes, it has a very good opportunity and sustainable opportunity. That's what I can tell you.
Okay. And just last question. Regarding our complex FDF products which we are expected to launch in around 28, 29, like ZetMD and other two products, whether it will be kind of first wave launch or will it be a kind of second wave launch?
No, every product is different. Like if you see rotigotine as a product in transdermal patch, right, it's more a first wave of generic launch what we are doing. But if you go to product like, suppose Abraxane, there are already generic players, but very few generics and very complex and goes in almost every tender. So it's a mix of both. But more important is we select only products which will give us, the day we are in market, it will give us sustainable growth in the upcoming years. We will never do a product which 1 month or 6 months it's selling and suddenly the sales has gone down by 90%, 95% in the pricing. Such product Shilpa will never do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The last question for the day is from the line of Ajay from Nivashay. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Ajay, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
So wanted to understand, like, now on the oncology API segment, like, we have 15 new oncology API products which we are targeting. So, and also a new CAPEX which we are coming up. So, wanted to understand the growth trajectory on the API front and just, like, on the formulation part, like, what portion of our formulation requirement is sourced internally? Like, how much of our formulation business is captively run through our API business?
Yeah, for your first question on the oncology API and the kind of growth trajectory we will have, that will all depend on how this molecule is translating at our end customer line. But we have very strong promising opportunities in many of these products. It's just that the timeline and the way it will monetize, I think that's something we will have to monitor. But for sure, each of these products, the kind of investments we have done in these products, there is already an end customer who is interested to buy, only then we invest in the product. So I think that kind of visibility we already have. Coming to the second question on the formulations. How much is the captive? Yeah. So in formulation, the overall captive percentage, if I tell you, it's more than 50%.
Got it. And sir, like, given currently how in the US market or the global market, the biotechnology and biosimilar have again started to pick up and our biologics revenue has also now scaling up, like with 50 crore in this quarter and like in last year we did 150 crore. So, I mean, just wanted to know your thoughts, like we also have good number of products in the pipeline. So like going forward, would the strategy be more of like doing a CDMO kind of business over here or like just out-license the product and get a milestone income from this? So wanted to just understand the strategy on this front and some of your thoughts on how are we looking at this business going forward.
See, in the biosimilar side or in our biologics division, we have a mixed strategy, okay? We have a small, midterm and long-term strategy. Small to midterm, we depend more on biosimilars as well as CDMO programs. Long-term is something which are more strategic partnership where you will see with Alveolus Bio, with MapTree Biologics, which are more a long-term bets, but one product clicks, then you have very good potential for many years. I think that's how our overall strategy is for biologics.
Got it. And sir, one last question if I can chip in. Sir, on the Oran deal which we have for the European market, like, I mean, I have been following the presentation of late, and on some of the products which we have mentioned, there is slight delay which we have mentioned because of some issues with maybe the US FDA and this. But on this Oran particularly, I want to ask you, like, internally, what launch year are we expecting this to get, like, what launch year are we expecting this? And on, like, scale or anything, if you would like to comment on the peak revenue or the timings you see.
So, Ajay, on Oran or client-specific details, as we mentioned previously also, we don't give any details. So, pardon us for that. We don't give any client or product-specific detailing. Further, if you have any query, you can connect to Monish. Whatever is possible, he will be happy to answer.
Yeah. Sure, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for the day. And now I hand over the conference to Mr. Alpesh Dalal for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thank you for your time and your thoughtful questions. Each year, we remain committed to growing and scaling the company to new heights. And your continued interest and support mean a great deal to us. As has been, repeated in our call as well, that if you have any follow-on questions, please reach out to our investor relations team. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Shilpa Medicare, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.